The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, your one-stop shop for advice on renewable energy solutions and other green initiatives.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Max Radio, on the air through till 1 today. Your chance to have your say on the issues of the day and anything else that matters to you, that bothers you. Text, email, or call, or WhatsApp. Well, the day has finally come after years, literally years of threatening industrial action. The teachers have taken industrial action today. Members of the NASUWT are striking today and tomorrow. A number of secondary schools have asked some children to stay at home. Picket lines are expected at least three establishments. In fact, we had Max Radio journalists out and about this morning on the picket line. It seems, I just wonder what your thoughts are. If you'd like to say, they've had all sorts of people across, from the NASUWT, senior members of the union from the UK, including an executive member, Nuala Lavery Noon. Striking teachers outside three of the high schools this morning on picket lines. And this is the executive member from the NASUWT in the UK on why strikes, walkouts are necessary.
We want a world-class education for these pupils, and the parents want that as well. But we can't do that if we can't encourage people to come to this island to work. It's simply the start in salary and the growth in salary over the years is just not comparable, even to Guernsey and Jersey and UK. So, you know, the students, yes, have a disruption. We understand that. But this is a last resort. The department has forced its teachers into this position because they have not taken the argument seriously enough.
And can I ask, you know, you spoke about students being disrupted. How does the union feel about so many pupils missing lessons over the next 2 days?
Obviously, this is not what anybody wants, let alone us. We are serving teachers ourselves. You know, we don't want this to happen for anybody. But I think the children, by and large, and the parents will understand what it's for. You know, there's a distinct difference in the pay of teachers on this island in comparison to other islands, as I say, and the UK. So I think that there will be an understanding, as much as maybe not a full agreement, but there is an understanding of why teachers have been forced. Don't forget, a teacher historically anywhere in the land is not the type of people to strike. So obviously, because they have taken this step, it is ultimately a last ditch attempt.
Well, there she is, Nuala Lavery Noon, executive member from the NASUWT from the UK. Well, clearly the message isn't getting through to somebody because obviously government aren't agreeing. 8%, the 8% pay rise has now been awarded. It will be in NASUWT members' pay packets. The other unions have accepted it, but not the NASUWT. So if you are one of those people now at home looking after children who normally would have been at school, but for this industrial action, how do you feel about it? Well, somebody else came over from the UK. General Secretary of the NASUWT, Patrick Roach, was also on the picket line. He said he wanted to join his members on the ground because it's an important day for them.
Well, it's absolutely fantastic to see our members standing together strongly. It's been fantastic to see other unions and other organisations supporting the cause of teachers. But you know, one of the things that's given me a real buzz this morning is hearing members of the public who are also expressing their support for teachers here in the Isle of Man. Because actually, the future of the island depends on great education. And you can't have great education without great teachers.
How will it make parents and pupils feel to see the teachers on the picket line?
You know, teachers, it's the last thing that teachers want to be doing, to be taking strike action. And, you know, we all know, we saw that during the course of the pandemic. that, you know, the best place for children to be is in school. And our members know that first and foremost. And that's why so many of our members have expressed, you know, real concern that they shouldn't really have to be here, that they've been forced to be taking this strike action today. But, you know, unless we look at this in the longer term, unless we invest in the teaching profession now, then children and young people won't have the teachers that they need, and their education in the longer run will be disrupted. So it's important we get this right. It's important we invest in teachers, that we address the pay crisis, that we address the workload crisis, keep teachers in the job, and ensure that we get more people wanting to step up and be the teachers of the future.
One question is prompted. This is Ollie, who dropped a note into Mandoline and just says today, well, the NASUWT says it's very important. So by the same token, if the other unions don't think it's as important as the NASUWT, how come the unions don't agree? How come it's okay for members of another union to accept the pay rise and to be happy with it, but the NASUWT? Is this a strike for teachers, or is it a political strike, says Ollie. Well, we'll find out, won't we? Dave dropped a note in, text 879, says, I'm not convinced enough the public are aware of the newest pay scales for teachers, which are now being implemented, and yet they're still striking for more. Well, members of the NASUWT are, even though it's thought less than 200 votes to strike, and we still don't know how many of those are current full-time teachers. The same teachers, the same as teachers earn in Outer London, plus 4%, sounds very generous to me, as does a £36,000 starting salary, says Dave. I work for government, says Fred. Myself, we only got 6%, so why should teachers get huge pay rises if they can afford not to buy groceries? Neither can the rest of us, says disgruntled Fred. Mike dropped in. He's a TT fan and a supporter. Let's have a vote as to whether or not the TT scoreboard money could be better spent elsewhere. Well, have they spent the TT scoreboard money elsewhere? Pam says, I'm disgusted with the striking. And Stuart said, before making any comment, we have the right to know who is right regarding the level of pay. Are the Isle of Man rates less or more than in the UK?
Interesting thing from Noble's Hospital. Yesterday I got given an appointment for the 23rd of December at 0745 hours. Today I get a letter telling me my appointment has been changed. It's now the 23rd, the same date and exactly the same time. And someone's written on the letter in red ink, new date. Thank you.
Well, there we are. I wonder how much the letter cost. It's 14 minutes past 12. David's with us. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. Now, this is a conundrum for you now. The guy that's having difficulty, who's in a local authority house or a DOI house or flat down in Colby Way there, I have real sympathy for him because Mr. Thomas was pushing the landlord's bill, remember? For private individuals.
Oh, the private landlord's bill, yeah.
Yeah, and they had to comply with this. They had to register both local authorities and the government department itself was exempt. Now, how can that be when this guy's having some difficulty? Isn't there a conflict of interest there? Because the landlord, who technically is Mr. Thomas, he's the minister responsible for the department, is not doing nothing about it. And then the other member, I think, down south is washing his hands from that. I think that's appalling.
Well, the DOI, as you say, it's DOI housing in Colby. The two MHKs, I think, have visited. I think Jason Moorhouse certainly and Tim Glover have visited the property. But Sean Ford says there's black mould and they're, well, kind of refusing to engage with him.
Well, I think that's absolutely pathetic and stupid in this day and age. Why do we have an environmental health department? Normally the procedure would be is a complaint can be made to the environmental health department or health services itself because of his condition, whatever that is. Somebody would go along, evaluate it. I know he said he's had somebody in who was an architect, but why hasn't the environmental health service gone in there and said, yes, your living conditions are poor, if you do this, that, or the other, or we help you this way, it'll help you out with your health. What do they want the guy to go to hospital? Well, I just wonder what's going on.
A lot of comments was made at the time of this landlord's bill that, you know, why was public sector housing exempted from this? And no, I'd never heard a convincing answer to that, David.
No, and neither have I. And my view is, if I was still there, the politicians, to save money, and Mr. Thomas should be looking at these issues too, is, does he really need a housing department within central government? All those local authority houses, which is owned by the taxpayer, right? We fund it. We fund the maintenance on it. We fund all sorts of things on them. They should be put to the nearest local authority in the areas and separated out from government. Government should always stand away from it.
Okay. All right. Thanks, David.
See you.
Oh, cheers. Now, 17 minutes past 12. This is the story of Sean Ford. Now, what happens when you have an issue with a rented property from a private landlord? Of course, you contact the relevant people, the problem will be resolved, and there is legislation there for the private landlords. But in the case of public sector housing, government deliberately kept public sector housing out of the landlord's bill. Well, Sean Ford came to Max Radio as a last resort because he's experiencing significant problems with his allocated property in Colby. It's got black mould on the bedroom walls, doesn't retain heat regardless of how long the heating's left on for. And despite going through the appropriate channels to get the issues investigated, Sean Ford, who's been forced to make official complaints for 4 years, says he sometimes wishes he wouldn't wake up. Because as soon as he does, the nightmare begins.
When it does warm up, it goes cold within 10 minutes. I've had serious drafts all around the place. I've had mould in the back bedroom. The wall was soaking wet. They'd done a test with a meter on it. That was never resolved. I had to go and buy an oil-filled radiator, which I left switched on for 14 months. Basically, I've just had drafts all around the house, and it's just freezing cold. It was never investigated. So I made a formal complaint. They brought in a surveyor who went round and found problem after problem. They sorted that out in July, finally, of this year. But that was, 17 months after I first made the complaint. And now I've still got problems in the house and I don't know. They didn't want to do any more about it. I can't eat. I don't sleep. I just feel depressed all the time. Sometimes I just don't even wake up in the morning. I just want to go to bed and stay there. Because when I wake up, it starts again. And it's like living a nightmare and it doesn't change.
Two key issues are the duty of care for the tenant, but also looking after the public housing stock. Housing's not being looked after in a sufficient way, but also the tenants being made to feel completely worthless and yet abandoned. And I'm not sure why we've turned into something that's so long running and so hurtful for an individual. With the price of electricity and gas, we can't expect our tenants to be in that situation.
The DOI and Public Housing Board's reasons for declining and the subsequent quotes. For someone who's asthmatic, is taking antidepressants, and really can't see light at the end of the tunnel, is that a sufficient response?
No, I think we should be there resolving the issue. If you've had a MHK, an independent person, seeing the situation and saying, can this please be looked at, and it's still being put on hold, there are concerns. There does appear to be a willingness in housing to do something, but until we see something being done, it's not good enough.
Well, there he is, MHK Jason Morehouse, talking about the situation that Sean Ford finds himself in Colby. James is with us now. Hi, James.
Hiya. I live in an Onken commissioner's house, and I've lived in this house for about 30 years. And I've never had any black mould, but then central government decided to tell the local authorities to fill the wall cavities in with these pebbles. So they glued these pebbles in between the wall cavity. And as a result, I've had black mould and I can't get rid of it. Now, David Quirk, when he was canvassing to be a commissioner, I invited him into the house to show him it. And I'm still waiting, and so are many other tenants in Onken, waiting for the Onken commissioners to do something about it. Now, I think, to be honest with you, Andy, it's a bit rich, David Quirk phoning the Mallon line up and having a go at the DOI when he's an Onken commissioner, and apparently he's done nothing about the black mould in the Onken commissioners' houses, which is caused as a result of filling the wall cavities.
When was this, James?
The wall cavities were filled about 3 or 4 years ago. 4 years ago, 5 years. I don't know, maybe 5 years ago. But I never had damp up until They filled the wall. And David then went on a few months ago about to be fair, he did phone up a few months ago about the cavity wall situation or the black mould. And he actually said it could be something to do with the way people live. So last year, I wrote David Quirk an email to his Onken Commissioner's email address. And I said, Dave, and I in the email, I actually said to it, David, I'd never had black mould in my house until you filled the walls, the cavity walls with these pebble things. Now, I wrote, so it's nothing to do with the way people live, which he was intimating on your program. Now, I wrote that email to David Quirk 12 months ago. I've never had a reply.
Okay. Well, let me just say one thing, James. David only ever phones as a private individual. He wasn't phoning on behalf of Onken Commissioners. That's one thing to get straight.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But I do appreciate that. But the thing is, as an Onken Commissioner, he doesn't even reply to an email I sent to him. I know he's not obliged to. And what annoys me about it, Andy, is that man is on the man in line every damn day, talking as an individual, which is his right, yes, about all sorts of subjects, because he's an expert on everything. And yet, he was responsible for the Onken Commissioner's housing. He was the lead member for the housing, and he did nothing about the mould when he was in office.
Okay. Well, let's get this straight then. Do you think that the beads that were put in are directly responsible for the mould?
Yes, and that's one of the reasons why Harvey Williston had to be ripped out. And it's happened in local authorities across. They realised they made a great mistake, and local authorities across have had to rip these beads out and to allow the wall cavity to be a gap again, because that cavity is there to stop damp coming through.
What are you having to do about the mould, James?
Well, I've tried getting rid of it, and a few weeks later it comes back. So I've just given up now, to be honest. There's no point in me spending hundreds of pounds decorating my house because the place will have mould in again. And there's no point in me complaining to the commissioners because apparently they're doing nothing about it.
Well, they know about it now, James.
Well, I appreciate you giving me the airtime, Andy. I really do. Thank you.
No, by all means. Your airtime, James. You use it. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, now it's 24 minutes past 12. What do you think about this? And do you have mould? Has any of the wall fillings, the cavity wall fillings, been responsible for mould? I wonder where we go from here. And what do you think about Sean Ford? That's a DOI housing property, which will be interesting because next Monday, the DOI minister is on Man in Line. Chris Thomas will be on Man in Line next Monday. This Friday, it's Daphne Kane talking about Climate Change Transformation Board and lots of other things. She's been involved in government for many years, was a civil servant for many years, a journalist before that at the newspapers. So she's got a wide-ranging span of experience. It'll be good to talk to Daphne. And, of course, if you've got quite a few questions already for Daphne, which I'm sure she'll be thrilled about, this coming Friday. And next Monday, Chris Thomas, DOI Minister. And again, much to talk about with Chris Thomas, but certainly the fact that government owns houses, whether or not that's the thing to do. There was some talk a couple of years ago about enabling housing association legislation on the Isle of Man. So you have obviously local authority housing and local and then housing associations. Certainly in various places across, housing associations seemingly work quite well. But thoughts on that, and I may be wrong, says Martin in Onken. I may be wrong, but the union rep is after a 30% increase over 3 years, 10, 12 and 8%. But in the second year, you're going to be getting 12% on the first 10% increase, and in the third year, an 8% increase on the 20% from the first 2 years. I think that's more than 30% over 3 years. Just saying, says Martin in Onken. If you're a maths person, maybe you can tell us all about that. Let's get back to the phones. And Juan's on Man in Line now. Hi, Juan.
How are you today, Andy?
Well, I'm not damp. That's good, because we live in a military-style building. Nothing gets through these 2 feet thick walls at Manx Radio, let me tell you.
Well, there you go. What can I say? How's your black mould up there, though?
It's absolutely fine. We're not mouldy in any place at all here.
Just a few of the presenters are a bit mouldy.
Well, it's a matter of opinion, isn't it?
Always a matter of opinion, isn't it? And just listening to the conversation on this, and I've spoke about this before, and there's a two-pronged thing here. I mean, yes, councils exempt themselves and LGB exempt themselves from this. They tried to impose lots of legislations on landlords, and I'm not saying that some landlords needed to take action, not at all, but there is also the other problem, which is, again, problems that don't want to be talked about. When people are trying to get on the council housing list, they actually make private landlords' houses even worse because they don't ventilate them. You know, they make sure that there's black mould on there and they don't ventilate the houses. So we have a massive load of Victorian housing stock in and around the island. And you know, now chimneys are not getting used. The chimney stack, as you see, the old chimney stack used to go up through the side of the house, and it would dry the walls and air the place. Now they're all getting blocked up now, balloons in them and everything to stop any drafts coming through. Planning will let you take chimney stacks down, so you have a nightmare trying to get up to these old houses, trying to seal the chimney stacks, which where the damp is. So, you know, planning won't let you take them down on Victorian houses, so you have a problem with that as well. But these old Victorian houses need ventilating, and you know, some of the older builds, and when, like you say, we're putting the polybeads in and stuff like that, and there's not been a proper inspection done on cavities, and you're getting damp coming through. I think you even notice on some of the new builds, on the Dandora builds down on the promenade, they've had a problem with damp coming through because there's not been proper building control inspections done when they've been built. So, you know, the snots build up and it transfers the water through, and consequently you've got a damp issue inside.
Do you think this, and it may be, may not be palatable to some people, but years ago people seemed to open windows a lot more than they do now. And places used to get well ventilated. I certainly have heard cases where private landlords have had houses ruined by people never opening windows purely because they thought it kept the houses warmer. They may be warm, but they're just not well ventilated, and they're humid.
Yeah, absolutely, totally. I mean, I've been into houses in Willesden, and there's black mould in them houses in Willesden. But again, you know, if extractor fans are blocked up, and people have a habit of either stopping extractor fans working, or they don't repair them when they're not operational, they don't tell the landlord. And of course, the moisture builds up. So, you know, you have to have reactive tenants as well as reactive landlords, because if the landlord is not told what the problem is, then this builds up. But back to the original point of it, which was the councils and LGB exempting themselves, it's totally wrong, because they're coming down and trying to impose regulations. And I brought this up with Chris Thomas. And I said, you know, when you go to these landlords' meetings and they're standing there saying you've got a £10,000 fine or imprisonment if you don't abide by our rules, and then they exempt themselves out of it. It's not really on, is it?
Well, you wonder why they do that. I mean, I still never found, I mean, something certainly I'll ask Chris Thomas on Monday. Why was that? Because it really doesn't seem to make sense, or if it does make common sense, it's passed me by.
Yeah, there is no logic, but we are talking about government here, so, you know, it's kind of mixed up logic that they use to start with on most things. But, you know, all this stuff that they're doing like this, and then they're turning around saying they've got a housing crisis. Well, yeah, you're going to have a housing crisis, because a lot of landlords are not just landlords, they're investors. And they'll go and invest somewhere else because they don't need the hassle. So they've created a lot of this problem themselves by putting this animosity up there with landlords. So, you know, they need to really sit down around the table and you know, just pull themselves back in, rein themselves back in, and you know, start sorting things out fairly for everyone.
Okay. All right, Joe, and thanks for that.
Cheers, Andy.
Appreciate it. Got a note in from Evan, who said, I had a friend who bought a lovely Victorian terraced house in Douglas and was cheerfully wallpapering over air bricks. When I mentioned it to them that they shouldn't be doing it, they basically looked at me gone out. They took the air brick out and blocked it up. Cracky. Worst GCSEs in the British Isles, says Texter 505, and yet the teachers want more money. Think of the poor children. Get back to work. It beggars belief, says Texter 614, that somebody on a starting salary of £36,000 is crying. Well, I don't think they're crying. They say they can't afford to live. That's beyond a joke, says Texter 614. Well, everybody has a right to fund their lifestyle. It depends where you pitch your lifestyle, doesn't it? But everybody has the right, you know, they have the right to have the lifestyle that they want. And obviously, certain jobs pay more than others. Training, apprenticeships come into all this, and it's certainly about what you aspire to. Everybody has a right to the lifestyle that they want. Does someone know how teachers' pay compares to other places in the UK? I wouldn't rely on union reps for accurate information, says John. I'm fed up with the union. We don't earn that much a year and we have to cope. But now my children are missing school. Again, my youngest is behind a very angry mother, says Texter 531. Shall we hear from the politicians? Strike action today and tomorrow by the NASUWT members. Picket lines at some schools. A lot of students have been told to stay at home. The union could turn round and send all its members into work and still have a substantial effect on turnout at the schools. Well, Manx Radio's John Moss spoke to the Education, Sport and Culture Minister, Julie Edge, MHK.
Certainly that could happen, I would hope.
Any indication that might happen?
I have no idea. You know, there's no indication of what action there is going to take place. All of our other staff will be present in our schools and hopefully providing work for our students.
Are they going to be picketing?
You know, they're quite right to have a picket line, but there is clear guidance around picket lines.
Students to see their teachers picketing will be an awkward situation.
As an island, we have given them a fair, sustainable pay award, which we are implementing from 1st of September this year, and that's between 8 and 11.9%.
Have you any idea how much more on top you'd have to put to satisfy this union?
Well, certainly it's being quoted that they're looking for 30% on top of
this reflects
the
what's happening across,
and that's a three-year deal, and I understand it's 12%, 10% and 8%, so it is a national dispute.
What exams are going to be taking place that will affect the students here?
So certainly, obviously, all of our students that certainly sit in their GCSEs this year, that's ongoing work throughout a school year. I understand there's possibly some mocks.
So,
well, I would hope that our teachers are set in the work for students. And as I've said in House Creates Today, that Google Docs will be where work is placed.
And are any UWT members cooperating with this and helping the students?
You know, obviously, if they're on strike action, they do their strike action, so
they
don't attend.
Days they're off,
that only applies to the days that they're off, and obviously it's whatever lessons are on those days that will be impacted by any teachers taking strike action.
Well, no more strikes after tomorrow. Tomorrow's the second day of the two-day strike by members of the NASUWT, but January and February there are planned to be two-day strikes in both January and February. The teachers should try living in the real world. Look at the head teachers on over 75,000 a year, I think more than that, and those with multiple schools on more than that. They should try living on an OAP pension, says Texter 762. Well, do you think that's the case? I mean, do you think that's the point in all this? What they're talking about, they seem to be indicating that starting teachers don't have enough money, that 36,000 wouldn't be enough to start on, and they have trained and that's the job they've chosen. So it's a false equivalence to talk about other people, surely, because other people aren't in those particular circumstances. And is it greed? Obviously, the higher you go up the scales of teaching to become deputy heads and heads, that's when, you know, the money really comes in then. Head teachers do earn a substantial pay packet. And it's knowledge, really, when you go into teaching, you earn the money at the end of your career rather than the start of your career. That's the same with lots of positions. So I wonder where you stand on starting pay. And those union reps seem to be saying that we aren't attracting teachers to the Isle of Man. And that's true. And a lot of the teachers that we do attract to the Isle of Man leave within a couple of years. And who suffers? Well, our students suffer. And that union rep said the students, the school children, are the future of the Isle of Man. So where do you think we should be putting the public money? And one thing to understand is that four of the unions have already agreed the pay deal. It's just the NASUWT.
Concerned, confused or curious about climate change? Want to do your part? Then visit netzeromatrix.com, helping businesses and individuals understand the net zero targets that government has set, how they'll be achieved and what impact it will have upon us. Plus, get practical advice and tips for saving energy, the options available for switching to renewable energy technologies and much more. We all need to do what we can. So visit netzeromatrix.com and join us.
You can get the best of everything, and the price is just as nice.
Oh, I'm so glad we went to Pacesetter. The perfect shower, some great tiles, all the accessories we needed. They had it all. Amazing ranges from traditional to modern, many exclusive to Pacesetter. Get your bathroom on song. Visit the Pacesetter showrooms at Harris Terrace and Spring Valley.
You can get the best of everything, where the price is twice as nice.
Nearly as good as me.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder's skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
Need quality type 1 stone for your building or contracting job? Then contact Tells. With no minimum order for collection or delivery. Call 677-137. Visit Tells Limited in Snugborough or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Skips are what they do.
We're the guys that hire one to you.
Call Tells Skips today.
677-137.
Crossroads, Isle of Man, putting carers first.
Crossroads have been providing services to local carers and people with care needs for over 30 years. Support our valuable work by buying your Christmas cards and calendars from Crossroads. Available now. You'll find a great range to choose from at quirky.im or at the Crossroads shops.
Crossroads, Isle of Man, putting carers first.
On the southern coast of the Isle of Man, in the nation's ancient capital, sits an imposing structure that's considered one of the best examples of a medieval castle in Europe. I'm referring, of course, to the fortress that is Castle Rushen. If you've ever wanted your own private tour of the site, you've come to the right place. Join me, Siobhan Fletcher, for Island Life tomorrow at 6, when we will explore the building and its long, varied history. That's Island Life here on Manx Radio, or find it as a podcast afterwards at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, the world's leading carbon register and validation ecosystem.
21 minutes before what Bonzo's on now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello, yes. I'm just wanting to talk about the teachers' dispute and also generally about public sector pay. You hear various things. I mean, a couple of your calls have been talking about, and people who send in emails and stuff, who've been complaining about, they're on 34,000 a year starting. Why are they, you know, whining and complaining? Well, of course, these people who are starting on £34,000 a year, have student debt. Which they on their student loan, which they will have to pay, and after that, then there are the higher housing costs and the higher general costs of being here, and lower tax rates don't compensate for that. So something that equates to outer, and I would say even outer London rates are probably not really sufficient to compensate for it, and they should be more like inner London rates. But somebody who's starting work as a teacher on £34,000 a year here, let's say, you know, just completed their PGCE, they're still not going to have much change at the end of the month. And, you know, for somebody who's done, you know, quite a lot of work to gain those professional skills and... it's quite a bit, you know, it's quite a burden, and why shouldn't it be adequately rewarded? Now, I know that people will then retort, yes, but nurses don't start on that kind of money. Yes, Well, yes, I appreciate that they do degree-level courses, and essentially they're postgraduates, and essentially they're, I believe nurses have to contribute to their education, whereas one is an entirely paid training. So, yes, they are in a similar position, and yes, they should start on a reasonable salary. I think it is, it's indicative of the attitude of the government. I mean, we know that Cannon, from his past, is not a great sympathiser with unions from his days on the Whitby Council. And I think he and Allinson are now deciding that the teachers are a line in the sand that they will draw in order to stop the rest of the public sector actually wanting to get a fair deal on their pay.
What do you think we should take then from the fact that the other unions, only the NASUWT is sticking out for a higher rate of pay, and the other unions have accepted the 8%?
Well, the National Association of Head Teachers wouldn't they? I mean, they're on a minimum of what, 75,000 a year, 80,000?
Their point taken, yeah.
Yeah, and they and the other unions, I think they only make up about 25-30% of the teaching population. That the NASUWT is the majority union. So I think this argument that these people have settled, so you must settle as well. That's just a load of rubbish.
So do you think that's the thinking behind government, in that by ratcheting up public sector pay, that will spill over to other sectors?
Yeah, which is why they're trying to, you know, as I say, they've drawn this as a line in the sand. But this goes to a very basic issue that, indeed, I think Geraldine O'Neill mentioned one time in an interview, but which I've mentioned before, in that, you know, we have, what is it, last year I think our gross domestic product was something like 5.2 billion pounds, and government expenditure on the budget 21-22 was something like 1.2 billion pounds. So, you know, the public sector spends about 20%. Yeah, 25% of the national income. In the UK, it's over 40%, more like 45%. Now, that rather suggests that there's 20% of the national pie which could go into public services and such like, but doesn't. And the reason it doesn't, of course, is because it goes to rich people. We have a welfare state in this country, on this island, whereby most people pay taxes, and they say pay lots of indirect tax, so that other people who have must have more. There's this sacred cow attitude to high net worth individuals, or really anyone, onto a six figure salary. And that is just stupid. We cannot run this island with that kind of attitude. Those who have broader shoulders need to be able to bear more of this island, from which they benefit greatly. They get to be taxed until the pips squeak, but there needs to be a very basic reconsideration of how the island is funded and how that funding is raised.
It's always been the thought that if you tax rich people more, they will leave the Isle of Man. How far do you agree with that?
The idea, it would be like the fall of Saigon, and wealthy people would be hanging to the skids of helicopters with money falling out of a suitcase. That's rubbish. The people that rich people don't come here for the nightlife and the weather. They come here because it's the nearest low tax jurisdiction to their businesses in UK and Ireland, and it's somewhere where, unlike the Channel Islands, it is easy for them to settle. That's the only reason. And putting up tax rates a little so that we actually have sufficient funds to fund public services, putting up the tax rates on those kind of, on that part of the population, no, that's not going to drive them away. The incentives are still there.
Okay. We appreciate that, Bonzo. Thanks for floating that today. Good to hear from you.
Yep. Okay. Bye.
14 minutes to one on Manx Radio. The government's given teachers a substantial pay award and the teachers now want more, to a point where we have schools closed. Now's the time to bring in supply staff from Europe who've offered their services months ago. The government should have planned for the worst and expected the best. Yet again, no forward planning, says Big John. And Tommy's with us now. Hi, Tommy.
Oh, hi, Andy. This goes back a week on Monday, Andy. I was late for the show. And I just came in the camp in town to hear you say one fits all. And I think I'm sure that was a reference to the government's intention to take the old prison site and demolish Eastcliff and put the site for the emergency services, fire, police and ambulance,
down at the bottom of our road here.
Yeah.
And I know that, Andy, because one of the family was up the government offices some time back, and they weren't supposed to see this, but they were invited into an office, and there was a set of plans on the table, and it was exactly what I've just said, and they're going to take all this, and it's completely unsuitable down here, Andy. We've got people up at Duke's Road, we've got Victoria Avenue where I am, and on the other side we've got Linden Gardens and Linden Grove. That's going to impact greatly on those people, Andy.
Well, when Jane Paul Wilson was on a couple of weeks ago, the Home Affairs Minister, I asked whether this blue light hub was going to happen, because, I mean, when Graham Cregeen was Home Affairs Minister, he said it wasn't going to happen. But now with them having issues with the fire station on Peel Road, it could be that that would happen. And you reckon the old prison site's not the site for it?
Well, it isn't, Andy. You know, I mean, there's too many people living around these things. They're going to be up in the middle of the night with the fire, police and ambulance screaming out of the place. It's just totally unsuitable. And I'll say now, Andy, it's not going to happen.
Okay. All right, Tommy, we've heard you loud and clear.
Okay. I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen, Andy.
All right. Thanks for calling today, Tommy. It's 11 minutes before one on Manx Radio. So this coming Friday, Daphne Kane, MHK, will be live on air. And next Monday, Chris Thomas, Infrastructure Minister, on Man in Line.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
Manx Credit Union has moved.
You can now find us at Ragnall House on the corner of Peel Road and Hope Street, Douglas, where our team remain committed to providing savings and responsible loans for islanders.
We're managed by our members, meaning our only focus is making sure that you are well looked after.
Find us in our new home on Peel Road. Have a look around and speak to our friendly team.
Or find out more about Manx Credit Union online at mcu.im.
Manx Credit Union.
Not just for you.
We're with you.
Our Subway Festive Turkey Stack Sub is filled with joy and big on flavour. Juicy sliced turkey breast, maple smoked streaky bacon, crispy hash browns and fresh veggies. Built right in front of you, just how you like it. Go footlong and you'll get a free hot or fountain drink. New this year, dip your sub into our special recipe gravy. Try our pigs in blankets and limited edition sticky toffee pudding cookies. Feed your festive spirit at Subway in Shoprite, Peel and Port Erin.
At Isle of Man Energy, our ultra-efficient boilers are priced from just £34 a month, with extended payment terms over 5 years and 9 years warranty. It's just one of the many things we're doing to help save you money and reduce energy. If your boiler is due an upgrade, or you'd like to find out more, call the Isle of Man Energy team on 644444 or visit isleofmanenergy.im. Isle of Man Energy. Energy for every generation. Subject to status, T's and C's apply.
Something to brighten up these dark winter months. Treat yourselves to a glitzy night at the Man In Hotel. Enjoy a three-course a la carte dinner, superb entertainment, plus a night stay and breakfast too, all just £185 per couple. On Friday the 16th of December, catch an incredible evening of Motown classics live on stage with The Sensations. Visit maninhotel.im to book or call 60 25 55 now.
The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com. The Isle of Man's main net zero progress website.
A message in just says, Andy, it might be worth the tenant with the damp moving out. He doesn't have to stay there. He could buy his own house, council property. Surely is only temporary. Are they there for life? Says John. Louise said, look, Andy, you keep saying 4 out of 5 unions have agreed the pay. It may be the majority of unions, but it's not the majority of teachers. These 4 unions only cover 25% of teachers on the Isle of Man. Also, one of the unions stressed to their members, if they agreed to the offer, they would in fact be taking a pay cut, says Louise. It would be thank you, Louise. Good point. It would be nice to know the exact numbers and also the number of possibly supply teachers or retired teachers who are still a member of the NASUWT. Get everything out in the open. A texter in just says, I moved into my commissioner's house 5 years ago, never had a thermostat, and the person that comes to look after the boiler every year has put in 6 requests. Still nothing. Our bathroom has damp in and a big crack in the bathroom window. They measured for a new window in 2019 when I called the Peel commissioners. They say it's on the list of jobs to do. Our front windows, as with the whole of the street, have got woodworm and are rotting away. Should we stop paying rent? And maybe they'll start doing their jobs, says that correspondent. Well, obviously, Chris Thomas is DOI and not Peel Commissioners, but we'll certainly be putting the point to him about public sector housing and where it fits in. Of course, he was chair of the housing committee as well. Teachers are living beyond their means if they can't manage on 36,000 starting earning, and saying they can't afford to eat without using food banks, then heaven help the rest of us, especially pensioners and those struggling on fixed incomes like benefits, says Gaynor. And a message, I'd like to know why we have a fully equipped Ramsey Cottage Hospital physiotherapy department for all the folk in the north are being redirected to Douglas. Is this true? My elderly friend has been told she can't get any help unless she shows willing to do that, says Texter 553. And if she doesn't, she'll be removed from the list. The specialist won't help because it's deemed you're not helping yourself. A disgrace. Which leads me on to the point that next week, GP practices are going to be closed, not tomorrow, but a week tomorrow, the 8th of December. GPs and staff are on an essential training session from 1 till 6, Thursday, the 8th of December, to allow for practice teams, that's all the clinical and admin staff, to get essential training and development for basically to remain fully trained and up to date with skills, which means no routine appointments a week tomorrow, the 8th of December, or access to your GP practice. Going to be closed a week tomorrow from 1 until 6. MEDS, the Manx Emergency Doctor Service, will still be open and operating from 1 o'clock on the 8th of December to provide urgent care. But you are reminded MEDS isn't a drop-in service, and if you need to speak to a doctor about any urgent issues that can't wait until the GP practice is open again, you'll need to call MEDS 650355. That is a week tomorrow, so just be aware of that. It's let me stress, it's not tomorrow, but it's a week tomorrow. Let's get that fixed into the calendar if you'll need a GP. A text in, who is telling lies about teachers' rates of pay? Julie Edge, Roz this is, Roz on 185. Julie Edge says the rates are higher than the UK. The union rep says they get less than the UK and the Channel Islands. Well, Roz, you would think that would be easy to find out, wouldn't you? Believe you me, we've tried. Clearly, says Chris, we need a Landlord and Tenant Act for public sector housing. You can't have one law for private landlords and another law for public landlords. We do at the moment. Maggie in Sulby says, do you think it will be a good idea when our new vessel arrives to have an open day? People are interested and could apply for tickets to look around the new vessel as they did when the new prison was completed. It would be good to see it before it's in service. I'm not sure if it's practical, but you think we could do something? It would be great to have a man in line, wouldn't it, on the new Hull 8311, to you and me known as Manxman. I think she's still at the Meepo dockyard in Ulsan, South Korea, which is the Hyundai Dockyard. Isn't that nice to know? The Hyundai Dockyard. Off to Southampton in the 14th of January, I think, next year, and then she'll be fitted out. Be nice, wouldn't it, to have an open day? Have you seen the plans for the Maxim, by the way? She is huge inside, an enormous number of cabins. And, of course, they're shifting around in the harbour beneath the Max Radio, getting everything ready. There's some new marine pontoons there. And, of course, the Princess Half-Tide Dock landing stage opens. They're saying for TT next year at Vauxhall in Liverpool, but we'll see. But a great idea. Thank you, Maggie. Open day on the Maximum. We'll put it to the steam packet. That's it for Man in Line. Back open line tomorrow, thanks to Chris Quirk producing today.
WINT.